From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The Trump administration is reviewing rules to eliminate federal family planning funding for Planned Parenthood in the latest Republican attack on the abortion provider. The funding plan that Trump could adopt would return to a Reagan-era norm where abortion providers would not be eligible for reimbursements for a broad array of family planning services for low-income Americans. The move is a thinly veiled attempt to pander to Trump and the GOP's evangelical base. Meanwhile, a new study by Media Matters has found that there is a dearth of abortion-related news in the media, and that Fox News dominates coverage with mostly inaccurate information. My guest is Sharon Kahn. She is the Abortion Rights and Reproductive Health Program Director for Media Matters. Welcome to the program, Sharon.
Thanks so much for having me.
So first, let's talk about the study itself before we get into what else is happening around it and how bad news coverage feeds into politics. What did you look at? What time period did you study when trying to examine how the media covers abortion-related issues?
Yeah, so we run this study every year, and we look at approximately a year's worth of coverage. This year, it was from March 2017 through March 2018, specifically focusing on evening cable news primetime coverage on Fox, MSNBC, and CNN. There's a couple different aspects to the study that we look at. One of the things is obviously to try and account for abortion-related coverage in general, whether it's people directly discussing abortion or using a lot of the sort of code words to get around saying abortion, which we see a lot of in media coverage. And then the second part of that is identifying not just where those conversations are happening, but the actual substance of those conversations. And in particular, the tenor, if it's accurate information that's being shared or not. And we tend to look at a couple different topics that we find have come up the most frequently, and those tend to be things like funding for Planned Parenthood's essential care services, as I'm sure we'll talk about in a little bit, deceptive videos from the Center for Medical Progress, which alleged impropriety by Planned Parenthood several years ago, and then things like abortion funding rules, like the Hyde Amendment, and finally the sort of just catch-all category of the extreme things that anti-abortion politicians and organizations will say are happening at abortion clinics, things like partial birth abortion, which we know is actually a made-up term that doesn't correspond to medical reality. So we look at all these segments, try to figure out what's being talked about, and then try to provide, you know, a breakdown of how accurate the information being shared is.
Now, Fox News is spending a lot of time on abortion. Conversely, do you find that other news outlets, other cable news outlets, even so-called liberal ones, are just not spending enough time on abortion?
Yeah, I actually think that was one of the most interesting findings from the study this year, which is that, like you said, it's not just that Fox News is talking about abortion the most. It's that their sort of volume of coverage is being met by a lack of coverage by other organizations. And so it's not just a matter of Fox News is talking about abortion the most and also the least accurately. It's that other organizations aren't seizing on opportunities to talk about abortion in frank, fair, and factual ways. And that results in a combination of lots of stigmatizing coverage and lots of inaccurate coverage, but then also instances where when they do talk about it, it's only spoken about in terms of it is like a political football issue rather than as a necessary form of healthcare.
Right. And I'm wondering if that stems from our taking for granted that there is widespread support for access to abortion in the public. And so liberal news outlets feel like they don't need to talk about it. They don't need to clarify medical terms or expose how the right talks about it, that it's just taken for granted there is this support for abortion. But then with Fox News filling in that gap, you see a very vocal minority having an outsized impact on politics and on the discourse in general.
Definitely. I think, like you said, we have polling and we understand that Americans are more largely in support of abortion access. And in particular, when people understand the circumstances that someone will access abortion care under, they're more likely to support access to that care. On the flip side, we have Fox News and other right-wing members of this echo chamber who are seeking out these conversations not to invite not to invite the voices of people who have had abortions or might have abortions, but instead to sort of forward coverage that isn't factual. And so I think something that other outlets could be doing a better job of, and that I think Fox News is seizing on the opportunity to flood out other coverage on is centering people who have actually had abortions and making sure that, you know, we're not just talking about abortion as, you know, something to be considered in the context of midterm elections or, you know, as a matter of a private decision, but we're also talking about it in terms of centering the people who have actually had abortions.
Let's dig into the details of the inaccuracies or misinformations or the slant that Fox News puts on this. You mentioned the Center for Medical Progress. Very nice sounding name. Sounds very formal, sounds impartial. But of course, this is that notorious institution that was attacking Planned Parenthood with these stealth videos that they put together, these undercover videos that then they very cleverly edited to make it sound like Planned Parenthood was, you know, selling baby parts on the market, on the black market or whatever. This is an institution that Fox News, does it, when it covers or when it brings it up, does it remind the audience of what this institution really is, or do they take it seriously?
That's another thing that I think was really interesting about our findings this year, is that we've run this study for 3 years now, mm-hmm. and every year we've looked for who's talking about the Center for Medical Progress and how much credibility they're giving to their debunked claims. This year, we found that although in previous years, you know, the Center for Medical Progress's claims were mentioned to varying degrees of accuracy on all networks. But this year, Fox News was not only the only network that ever talked about the Center for Medical Progress, in almost the entirety of our sample, they talked about it as if it was credible, when in fact, journalism experts, a federal judge, and, you know, independent state investigations have determined that the things shown in the videos were not accurate representation of Planned Parenthood or other abortion providers.
So there were four common abortion-related topics that you alluded to earlier. What are some of the other issues? You said partial birth abortion was one of them. I remember this becoming an issue even during the presidential debates. So, you know, one would hope that the more liberal news outlets would take this on and clarify that, as you said, this isn't really a medically recognized term, but Fox News talks about it like it's a real thing, that we're aborting essentially fully formed babies.
Right. Fox News does, not just with partial birth abortion, but with lots of allegations of allegedly extreme abortion procedures, is how we refer to them. And that captures any number of inaccurate representations. But I also think it's important not to let off, you know, not to let off the hook other outlets who are maybe not doing enough to debunk these claims. So I think the example that you alluded to with the presidential debates, we saw that during that time, even when other networks were discussing, you know, the things that have been said in the debate, they weren't going the extra step to say, this was said in the debate, here's where the term comes from. It was actually invented by anti-abortion activists to shame and vilify people having medically necessary later abortions. But they instead took it for granted that that was an actual thing. And so even when people maybe are trying to provide further context to something that was said, making sure to provide necessary, you know, debunk and citing the opinions of experts as well.
Let's talk about Planned Parenthood and this real lack of information about the government's role in taxpayer or tax funds for abortion. I think if you talk to Fox News viewers or people who exclusively watch Fox News, they might be under the impression that their tax dollars go towards funding abortions in, you know, states around the country. Is that true? And how does Fox News sort of cover that?
That is not true. The Hyde Amendment exists and it is a federal rule that prohibits the use of taxpayer dollars or any federal funds to support abortion services, with a couple of exceptions for the life and health of the mother or fetal abnormality. And Fox News, however, does not recognize this. You'll hear Fox News, other right-wing outlets, and even anti-abortion organizations frequently saying that we need to create further protections against so-called taxpayer-funded abortion. And something that they'll often say to support this is that, you know, even if money isn't being given to Planned Parenthood to fund abortions, that because Planned Parenthood and other providers may provide abortion services, that money is fungible, which is inaccurate and doesn't account for the number of safeguards that people have to show where they're actually spending that money.
So the cable news outlet that is the most guilty of inaccurate information is Fox News. But within Fox News, are there individual hosts or shows that you know, are more culpable than others?
Definitely, we found that above all else, Tucker Carlson's program, Tucker Carlson Tonight, mm-hmm. is one of the largest sources of misinformation and just conversation about abortion on the network. On the other sort of bad actors, I would say that although it's newer to the lineup and didn't start until October of 2017, Shannon Bream's program and Martha McCallum's program both tend to have a higher proportion of misinformation and tend to bring on more anti-abortion voices to talk.
In fact, let's watch a short video that Media Matters put together to showcase the kind of conversations about abortion that dominate Fox News.
Well, the culture of death is on the march across America and in the world, in case you haven't noticed. The left loves abortion. They think it's the key to freedom. Planned Parenthood wants America to start having more abortions as soon as possible because that's liberation. More abortions, the better.
Journalists from the Center for Medical Progress who recorded undercover conversations with Planned Parenthood employees about selling fetal body parts.
For 2 years now, the Center for Medical Progress has been releasing a remarkable series of undercover videos. They're real, by the way.
Planned Parenthood workers illegally selling fetal parts for profit.
The sale of human parts. The trade in fetal body parts.
Pricing for fetal body parts and tissue.
Selling of baby body parts.
Selling baby parts. Selling fetal body parts. Presumably you could be for Roe v. Wade and still horrified by the idea of selling baby parts.
There's nothing more offensive to the left than opposing abortion, for sure.
The Jane Doe case, this is this illegal immigrant who came into the U.S. and wanted an abortion with federal funds, and it happened.
The most avant-garde liberals are finding a new right for illegal aliens, the right to have an abortion at taxpayer expense.
On the face of it, the need to allow late-term, even full-term, abortions for, you know, an illegal immigrant. I mean, this is the most extreme example.
Would this mean that U.S. taxpayers have an obligation to fund the abortion of, like, anybody from around the world who comes here for one?
Whether you're first trimester baby or you're a baby about to be born, you can be killed in Oregon.
This could increase abortions. This could kill 3,000 more children a year in Oregon.
Planned Parenthood, the nation's biggest abortion provider, which supports sex-selective abortions and anything else you can imagine. Sex-selective abortions, abortions designed to basically cull female babies. If you're a feminist, how in the world can you support sex-selective abortions? How can feminists be for that? Why are abortions so important to Planned Parenthood? If the rest of what they do is more important, why just give up the abortions? Everyone will be happy.
They have over $1 billion budget, and $500 million is coming from taxpayers.
$500 million annually.
$500 million a year in our money.
Every single year from taxpayers.
It's important to end your pregnancy, not to have a child, so you can make more money? Is that... am I mischaracterizing it?
Kill your child in order to get ahead in life, in order to deal with your problems.
More abortion equals more happiness? Is that the, if you could kind of sum up their position, is it that?
She's just gonna be then the mother of a child who's dead and have the same problems in her life.
Now they're saying, like, yeah, more abortion's good. Are you saying that we need to have more abortions of black children? I mean, that seems to be what your statement is saying.
I couldn't help but think, you know, this is basically eugenics.
I mean, if there was ever a time for civil disobedience, it seems like some might think this would be the time.
You've been watching a short video that was put together by Media Matters as a showcase of how Fox News covers abortion-related topics. My guest is Sharon Kahn. She's the Abortion Rights and Reproductive Health Program Director with Media Matters. And we're discussing a new study that Media Matters put out about how abortion coverage takes place on cable news and how Fox News is the guiltiest, if you will, in terms of the accuracy of information put out there. Now, some of these, some of the things that we just heard and saw, Sharon, wouldn't simple research on the part of the viewer negate so many of these issues that Fox News hosts bring up? I mean, this seems to sort of play into that whole fake news, you know, the existence of fake news on Fox News. It's not just Facebook or social media, of course, that's guilty of promoting fake news. You have Fox News that has been around for a lot longer.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that in this larger conversation about fake news, I think anti-abortion misinformation, and in particular how whether established media outlets like Fox News or more or less or less well-known ones that are engaging in those conversations are participating actively in spreading misinformation. I think something that's been really interesting for us here at Media Matters and my team in particular has been trying to find, you know, sort of the language that's being used by these right-wing outlets when they're trying to communicate about abortion or trying to signal to their supporters that they're talking about, you know, an abortion-related myth that you wouldn't necessarily know to look for. So code words like things like taxpayer-funded abortion or the idea that partial birth abortion is a thing, or even something, you know, with this latest Title X rule that Planned Parenthood somehow isn't an essential healthcare provider and there's just a litany of other community health centers that can fill in the gap. Each of these is a kernel of misinformation. But then when it's put out in sort of the wider information ecosystem about abortion, I think it's compounded by the fact that people are not always willing to have stigma-free conversations about abortion that actually, you know, support the right of people to choose abortion care for themselves and recognize it as an essential form of healthcare.
Let's talk about Planned Parenthood, because this aspect of your study feeds directly into an unfolding news story, which is earlier in the year, Donald Trump had essentially taken a decision to try to limit Planned Parenthood's funding, attempting to achieve through regulation what Congress essentially failed to do last year because of Democratic opposition, right? This is a means to remove or make Planned Parenthood ineligible for taxpayer-funded reimbursements for low-income Americans for simple things like family planning, right? Which means contraception or pap smears. Does this Fox News coverage that your study points out feed directly into this kind of political change?
I think it's hard to say that there's an absolute certain causal relationship, because I'm sure that there are tons of factors, whether it's conversations that lawmakers are having outside of the media bubble or just work with anti-abortion organizations directly. But I do think that we can see that the type of language and the type of justifications that people are relying on in these policymaking conversations are ones that spend months, if not years, going around the Fox News echo chamber. And the other thing that's interesting about the Title X rules is that, you know, Planned Parenthood is an essential healthcare provider, and something you've heard on Fox News for years is that there are plenty of other alternative centers that can fill in the gap, when in reality we know that's not the truth and public health experts have disputed it. But if you were just getting your information from Fox News, you wouldn't know that.
How essential is Planned Parenthood? How big a percentage of the, you know, needy community services actually help?
Yeah, I mean, the most recent statistics that we have say that there are approximately 4 million patients who are dependent on Title X services to access everything from, like you said, contraception services, but also things like cancer screenings and STD testing. That of those 4 million patients, Planned Parenthood, I think, sees 41 to 43% of them.
Wow. So if Planned Parenthood suddenly becomes ineligible for being reimbursed by the government for these basic non-abortion related services, that means it will not be able to accept these low-income patients. That means those patients will have to find other places to go to get those essential care or essential services, except that they might live in a community where Planned Parenthood is the only provider.
Right. I mean, I think an important additional point of context for that, too, is that Planned Parenthood might be your only provider, but when, like, right-wing media tried to point to other centers they say can fill in the gap, it's important to know that not all of these centers provide comprehensive reproductive health services. For example, some of the people that might qualify to provide things like, you know, basic healthcare screenings might not provide or believe in providing contraceptives, or they might not believe in providing something like an IUD because they believe inaccurately that it's something that anti-abortion activists call an abortifacient, which is that they believe it induces abortion. And so it's not as simple as saying you can't access Planned Parenthood anymore, but there's other places. If those places don't provide, you know, the full suite of reproductive healthcare services, then it's not a one-to-one replacement.
Sharon, going back to what we started out discussing, which is that Fox News is able to spread so much misinformation in a vacuum because other news media outlets are simply not doing good enough. So what would you recommend? Because, you know, Fox News will be Fox News. But the antidote to that, one approach, is to have better counter coverage. What are ways in which other news outlets can improve their coverage to counter what Fox News says. On the one hand, simply putting out accurate information about abortion, but then also maybe targeting Fox News's coverage directly to parse what they're saying, like your study has done. Wouldn't that be a good approach?
I think that anytime we can take an opportunity to debunk harmful misinformation about abortion access, it's a good thing and people should do it. But I think more broadly, some of the things that we've been talking about, whether it's centering the voices and making sure that you're actually talking to the people impacted by the decisions that are being made, so people who will have, you know, who will lose access to abortion care, who will lose access to that reproductive health care, but also making sure that abortion isn't just treated as a political football and that it's not just making the lineup when there's an obvious like political race occurring, that it's something that's a consistent part of a conversation because it's important on its own merits too.
Right. Now, of course, midterm elections are approaching and Trump realizes and the GOP realizes that Trump's behavior in so many aspects is off-putting to even the most core parts of his base. But of course, this base will make a political calculation if abortion is something that their you know needs are being met by certain politicians. They will back those politicians making that political calculation. And certainly that seems to be what the GOP and Trump are counting on, right? I mean, unfortunately, abortion has become a political football and the healthcare needs of millions of American women are constantly at stake for that reason.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that we can see this in a lot of ways. And we've, if you sort of look at some of the work that like my team has done, for example, we've been trying to document the ways that anti-abortion bad actors in particular who existed in, you know, right-wing media outlets or who existed in organizations dedicated to preventing, you know, abortion access are now making their way into positions within the administration. And we see lots of examples of where, you know, they're willing to make compromises on other policy priorities in order to get support for their anti-abortion agenda. I mean, you only have to look to tonight. President Trump is speaking at the Susan B. Anthony List, which is one of the larger anti-abortion organizations. He's speaking at their gala, and he's doing it after, for several weeks, they were promoting stays at his hotel. So, I mean,
Say that again?
Yeah. We have a post on our website, and some other reporters have now gone and done additional reporting on, but President Trump announced that he was going to be speaking at the Susan B. Anthony List gala, I think, at the end of last week, and that gala is tonight. But for the several weeks before that announcement, the Susan B. Anthony List had been promoting room blocks at the Trump Hotel.
So, wow. That, I mean, in any other circumstance, that would be considered at the very least unethical and the most, you know, or all the way up to corruption level type activity. Wow, that sounds pretty incredible. So here you have these institutions and this president helping one another, promoting one another, using the office of the president to do so, which just seems very, very sad that we're at the state. What are ordinary people to do? I mean, there have been so many, you know, activists that have been supporting Planned Parenthood. There have been so many marches and rallies. Do you have any sense of what can counter this trend, this very dangerous trend on abortion?
I think the most important thing is that people shouldn't be afraid to have conversations about abortion, and they shouldn't be afraid to have conversations where they actually name it. I think too often we see that people, even progressive allies, are unwilling to sort of name the name, and they'll just refer to it as sort of an issue of choice, which is true, but that we shouldn't give in to abortion stigma. We should be willing to champion a platform that protects those things.
We even see sort of TV culture where it becomes anathema to have an abortion, even sort of from liberal Hollywood, right? I mean, I can count so many instances in movies and TV shows where a certain character gets unexpectedly pregnant and has a terrible time making a decision, starts out choosing to go to an abortion clinic, ends up deciding to have the child, which is fine, it's a very legitimate decision, but we just don't see, it doesn't seem reflective of what happens in reality, which is a lot of women do choose to have abortions so that they can, you know, for whatever reasons they have and are at peace with that decision. And that's something that just doesn't seem to permeate our culture enough. It just becomes a sort of dirty secret.
Right. And that's why having those conversations where, you know, we're actually willing to defend access to abortion rights, we're willing to sort of name it, is so important, I think, as part of a strategy forward, is that, you know, we'll continue to keep an eye on what right-wing media are saying and holding accountable those who have public platforms with other media outlets, but that people also need to be willing to engage in those conversations. And when they see something, whether it's from their local newspaper or, you know, a national outlet, being willing to ask questions about that and sort of figure out what the truth is.
I understand Planned Parenthood, ACLU, and another organization have sued the Trump administration over the attacks on their funding. And I'm wondering, of course, those lawsuits may or may not pan out. But I'm wondering, again, if the sort of media coverage plays into how lawsuits also work out. Because, you know, the GOP has been filling the judiciary with conservatives. And they're just, you know, even though judges are supposed to follow the letter of the law, it's a scary time these days within the legal realm to see things that should work out in favor of the Constitution and constitutional rights not working out. So yeah, even the courts may not be able to protect abortion rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and that was also something we saw in our study too, is that when people weren't, you know, treating abortion as a political issue, it was most likely they were speaking about it as an issue of like legal, either litigation or the Supreme Court. I think, in fact, a large portion of the segments that we looked at that discussed abortion in a substantive manner were in the context of Supreme Court nominations and how for conservatives, the nomination of an anti-abortion justice was sort of a litmus test. So I think that that is certainly a valence of the conversation too. Hmm.
Sharon, where can people read the study that you worked on and watch the video?
Yeah, you can find it at mediamatters.org, specifically under our reproductive rights section.
That's mediamatters.org. We'll post a link to that from our website. Thanks so much, Sharon.
Thank you.
My guest is Sharon Khan, abortion rights and reproductive health program director with Media Matters. And we've been discussing the new study on media coverage of abortion-related issues that she spearheaded. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.